And away we go. It is a Getaway Friday. Friday, October the 24th, 2025, 10:24:25, 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. We will be joined in studio momentarily by Pastor Steve Whitaker for the pastor spot here on WGH Talk Radio. Do want to remind everybody that the Kroger Kids Night Out on Route 95 is happening this coming Monday, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. Join them for some fun games and spooky prizes. They'll also be collecting new and gently used coats and hats and gloves to donate to the Salvation Army. That's the Kroger Kids Night Out, Monday, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Kroger on Route 95 here in Marion. Ghosts and goblins galore. And as I said, Pastor Whitaker will be joining us here momentarily. This show airs every Friday on this station, 11:15 a.m. until 12 p.m. You can hear it on the website, wwgh1071.com, or by downloading the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and searching WGH Talk. And again, it airs every Friday morning from 11:15 until 12 p.m. And we have a lot of interesting conversation on this program. And that's always a good thing. Conversation, a real old-fashioned talk show in which we really don't discuss what goes on or what's going to happen during the show beforehand, which is never a bad thing on anybody's account. And here he is. Pastor Steve Whitaker joins us in the studio here on this Friday morning. 1 week left in the month of October, just rolling on by. Pastor Whitaker, happy Friday. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm great. I'm running around like a chicken with his head cut off, but I'm doing great.
Good.
How are you doing, Matt?
Doing well.
I'll start out with, I was listening to the program, the taped, you know, and last week, before I got in here, you guys said a couple things that I wanted to kind of comment on. One was, you had said that you, this isn't bad things, just something I wanted to bring up. You had said that you didn't know that Dr. Oz was running for his seat that he lost against Fetterman, and I found that interesting. How could you not know that?
That was a big deal.
That was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And you do a political commentary show. You got to know these things.
Got to know about a Dr. Oz running.
You got to get out there and look at other things. Make sure you're not pigeonholed in what you're listening to. I listen to everything because I want to know what's going on around me. But yeah, that was a really big deal. You should have known that.
Yeah.
Dr. Oz.
I'm just scolding you, man. And then the other thing you guys were talking about Fetterman, and you know, the comment was kind of like, well, I don't even know what his position really is, and I thought I'd, you know, clarify that just a little bit with his position. Whether I'm not saying whether I agree with it or not, I'm just saying because I do follow that stuff. And what he was really doing is, you know, we always talk about reaching across the aisle, and then when someone reaches across the aisle, if it's not it's not our aisle that we weren't reached across to, then, you know, it's a negative and we don't have anything really good to say about them. So what do we really want as people? Do we want people to reach across the aisle or not? And in the case of Fetterman is not saying that he agrees with the total budget. What he was saying was, hey, look, we're trying to get this thing voted to keep people paid so we can continue to have a discussion about things that are very important. And one side says, you know, let's get this paid and table some of this stuff. People need to be paid. The other side say, no, unless you put these provisions in there, we're not going to vote to keep the government funded. Well, Fetterman comes out and he says, wait a minute. He says, I get that we want these, but we got to keep the government funded. So I'm voting to keep the government funded. His vote is not for what the Republicans are saying. He is voting to keep it funded. And that's the vote that's out there that people need to understand. It's a vote whether you're going to fund the government right now or not. And,
no, I think that was, you know, last week when we were having that discussion about Fetterman, it was an interesting discussion because at that particular time, I think his position has become a little more clear in the last 7 days. But at that time, he was going on a lot of different shows saying different things, and I'll bring this up again when Pastor Whitaker comes back in. But I think that was the confusion with him. Now, I think in the last week, he's become a little more straight ahead with what he's saying. But at that particular time, he was a little more androgynous in what he was saying. And I think that was what was going on. So when Pastor Whitaker, in my thought on Fetterman last week, I think he's become more clear this week. But last week, it depended on which show or I would see him on or what periodical he was speaking to. Because in one state, he was saying, yes, I think the government should be funded, so I think we should go with that. And then in other places, he was going, well, I do think that this health care should be funded as well. And then the Democrats would say to him, but if we vote for this budget, we're funding the whole budget, which will get rid of that portion. He said, well, yeah, I understand that. And I think he's become more clear in the last week, but I don't think he was as clear last week.
But what they were voting on was not the whole budget. They were voting on funding it and continuing. They were not voting on, we're going to vote for this budget. That's not what the vote was. So that's not being genuine. I mean, what they're really voting for is a continuation of the payment through, what is it, January? They wanted to put it through January and give them time to rehash this and come back and vote on a final budget. So it's not like if they don't vote for this, they're not going to get their way at all. It's kind of like, let's fund this thing, and I hate to use the word kick the can down the road, but at some point they got to start talking back and forth.
Well,
but I don't think that we should. I don't think that we should hold the. I don't think that we should hold government workers hostage over. Either put this in the bill or don't.
Well, I think that's what became a problem. In July, we kicked the can to October. And at that time, they did go along. The Democrats did go along. And when they went back home to their constituents, they got kicked just in the face. Don't do this again. Do not. And now they want to kick the can again, as you say, to January. And I think this time they're a little more hesitant to do that because of what happened last time. Mm-hmm. And I just wish they would stop being paid. I wish all Congress people and all the senators would stop their payment. And then I think they would solve this a whole lot quicker.
We don't agree on everything, Scott, but I agree with you on that one. That's one I really do agree with. You know, if they're government employees. Are they not?
They are.
They work for us, and this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So that means that they work for us. And if other government employees can't be paid, neither should they. You know, essential government employees will be paid. Well, quite frankly, if you're not getting your job done, you're no longer essential. And I don't think these guys are being very essential right now.
No, what are they doing now? What are they doing?
And the other thing, I think they should have to stay in Washington until they get it settled.
Yeah.
You know, because why are they in a hurry? Why are they in a hurry? We're going to go, let's see. Well, we're going to go on vacation because this thing's not getting done. And, you know, we're going to bob back and forth. And we start getting paid. And, you know full well that we've talked about this 1,000 times on the different shows, is that money talks. Money talks. I mean, whether it's in news media, whether it's in anything, most of the what we call bias in the news media, whichever direction it's going, is because that station is what the listeners want to listen to. The advertisers are going to put things on that station because they want those listeners, and that's what ends up forming what they do. It's their listener base.
I just cannot understand what this government shutdown. Here we are in day 24 of it. That there is no resolution in sight, and it's either somebody's going to have to do something at some point.
They will.
They will.
They will.
But how far are we going to push it?
Well, I don't know. We're not going to do anything.
Nope. We're just going to sit and watch.
We're going to sit and watch, and they're going to push. I have no idea. It may be, you know, I think they have an end game in mind, and I know that at some point that it will. I think that. There's enough other weird stuff going on right now. I don't want to really talk about the new East Wing.
People are wound up about that.
But you know what's crazy about that? And, you know, I'm a minimalist. I mean, I really am in everything that I do. I've never bought a new car in my life. You know, I just can't do it. And to me, it's like, hey, you know, it's just, do we really have to do this right now? And I understand in Trump's mindset He is a person that goes big or go home. And he wants Washington to be this bright, beautiful place and all everything that where he can have other world leaders come in and really showcase America. That's his mindset and how he thinks. That's why he has Mar-a-Lago. Well, he's looking, he's saying, we can do this, 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 and he did. I mean, it's not coming from taxpayer money. All that building is coming from private donations. But my word, with everything else going on right now, I would think just by, you know, people form opinions based on what they see, not always what the facts are. And I'll give you an example. The Columbus Dispatch, I'm very involved in LifeWise, the school release program, which is just insane how it's grown. And it's grown because of the Supreme Court decision that was clear back in the late 50s. And nobody really picked up on it and did anything until Joel Penton got a hold of it and started this program. But, you know, believe it or not, they're in 14,000 schools now. And their goal in the next 5 years is to be in every school district in the country, which is a huge thing. But the Columbus Dispatch did an article, and it pointed out all this money that they had as supposedly profit at the end of the year. And people said, oh, why am I funding this thing? Look at the profit they're making. You know, why am I? Because everything we do is volunteer and based. And the truth is, all that money goes right back into building the program. It's coming out as fast as coming in. But when you see an article that says, look at this money above what expenses were, people think, oh, great, it's going to pockets. You know, I'm not positive on this fact. I think it's a little lower than what I'm going to tell you. But I'm going to go a little higher because I know it's not over that. I think Joel's got six kids. They just had their sixth. But he makes $60,000 a year. Do you know any CEOs of huge corporations that only make $60,000 a year? That's my whole point. You know, the money is, and like, for instance, in our Elgin district, which I work with, everything that we have and spend comes from local donations from the Elgin community. It doesn't come from, so people see that big LifeWise thing of, wow, look at all the money they made. We don't need to give money. No, that's not how it works. The communities raise the money for their individual community. So that's what I'm saying is a lot of times people are shocked by something they see. Look, if I'm a government worker and my pay kit is getting cut or it's going to be cut, or I'm real nervous about this, and the wife's saying, you know, how are we going to keep the house? Or the husband's telling my wife, how are we going to keep the house? You know, we're going to have to move. And then all of a sudden, see him knocking down half the White House to build this massive expansion. I'd be a little torqued off.
That's what...
I don't care which party you're in.
I forget who somebody yesterday, it was a... I think it was a Republican senator from Pennsylvania, I think, was going into his office, and he says, just a bad look.
It's a bad look.
Yeah.
And it's nothing that other presidents haven't done. It's been done before. That poor East Wing gets knocked down or changed every time you turn around. Bowling alleys put in it, whatnot. But, you know, and it... What was it? Was it Truman that took it clear down, or was it...
Truman did the renovation of the White House because the piano fell through the floor, and he put the Truman balcony on.
Yeah.
But that was see. Now this is one of those issues. Honestly, I haven't talked. I don't think we've talked one bit on any show about this because to me, it's going to be what it's going to be, and in the end, people are going to look back on it as they're going to look back on it. If it hurts somebody, it will. If it helps somebody, it will.
Yeah, but I think the conversation was I'm kind of with you in that camp. My conversation about it is sometimes the things we do and say on the surface really paint a different picture than the way things really are.
Well, that's it. When I was rolling down through the feed, because I saw this was, boy, pictures and video and la-di-da, and I was just interested. So I rolled down the news feed, never made a comment, never did anything. And it's interesting, you know, the two sides, because there are very different sides on this, very different opinions. Do they ever look at what the other people are actually posting? Because I went down the news feed, and the people who were for it were essentially saying renovations have happened before. Truman did some. There has been a basketball court, a bowling alley, so on and so forth. That was their argument. And the other side who didn't want it were not saying that renovations can't be done. They were saying those were all approved by White House commissions and structural architects, and this was not. So I don't think anybody.
It would have to be. It literally would have to be. There's no way in the District of Columbia are they going to go in and do something that massive without all the architectural stuff and approvals?
Well, that's what
they're not Marion, Ohio.
I would love to see the documents, because if there are those documents, and I think that's one, because, again, you know, this is going to come off the way it's going to come off, but President Trump did say, I mean, there is footage there, I'm not touching the original structure. These things will not touch. If there were architects involved and there were plans involved, you couldn't just bulldoze the East Wing if your initial statement a month ago was that you weren't going to touch the original structure.
He meant the original White House structure, the main building, and he didn't.
Okay, well, was that
the East Wing, which has been taken off before completely?
I would like to see the plans.
You may never see the plans.
I doubt it.
I'll tell you what. You drive to Washington, D.C., go to the building department and say, I'd like to see a copy of the plans. I'm sure they come up with it. You just can't do that. You can't. And if people are making that argument, they're making that argument for the sake of making an argument. There's probably a better argument to make. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong that he's doing it. Could be very wrong. In my mind, I think it's a bunch of baloney. I don't think any of it was needed. Let's get on with the program and running the country. And I don't need to impress anybody. And, you know, I know the long-range game plan may be huge, and maybe I'm just a dumb hillbilly from Marion County. But the point is that I don't see the point in it. I don't agree with it. How's that?
Well, that's why I wish just people talk.
I don't agree with it. All I'm saying is that if we're going to have an argument about it, let's have an honest argument. And,
right.
And for them to say that there's been no plans or architectural stuff, that's just crazy. I've been in building half my life. I understand how it works. Even in Marion County, for instance, we don't have a building department here, which really makes it hard on all the townships and people around. But however, because of that, what happens is, anytime you get into any commercial structure whatsoever, it automatically jumps completely to the state, which the state would be involved anyway. So it's not like if, even though there's no building department in Marion, if I would decide to build a commercial building where people are going to be in it and it's going to be housed and people come in and out, then the state would then come in and override that building, and we'd have to go by whatever the state rules and statutes were. That's kind of that way almost nationwide, unless you get into some, I don't know any place where they just let people build whatever they want. Except, I can tell you this, when I was in Bolivia, you guys will like this, I was going down the street in one of their major cities, La Paz maybe, I don't know, anyway, and these guys had actual tree limbs that they'd whacked the branches off of, and they were standing on the ground, upright, and they were tied into other ones up top, and they were pouring a cement floor on top of all this stuff. And I'm like, somebody's going to die today.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't do that in this country. And they're not doing it in Washington, D.C., so if they're saying that, they're full of bull.
Well, and I think, and this is, I think, where a missed opportunity was. If that is true, then just throw the plans out there. That would kind of kill the whole argument on the other side. Here they are.
Does Donald Trump ever make it easy for people?
Maybe this is the problem.
Well, I think he did show the plans.
As far as the approvals and everything through the commissions?
It was more like he showed like the floor plans. I thought that's...
Yeah, no, we've seen the floor plans.
All that stuff.
I'm not about the approvals.
There's no way. You just can't do it.
Just show that, and then we'll be done with it.
Well, here's the point. He probably doesn't need to show it because people can actually get it if they want it.
Well, I would love to see it. And then we could be done with this thing and move on to something else.
Well, I don't know. I don't agree with that. I can remember that statement one time about, you know, I just want to see proof there wasn't Russian collusion, and then we could be done with it and move on. And it was never done with and moved on. Even then, they came out that there was no Russian collusion, which still is a conversation topic for the next. Still is. And the point is, sometimes, look, if we're going to see something to move on, see it and move on. But someone's not going to let it die 90% of the time anyway. But anyway, with all this fun stuff being said today, we've already shot 15 minutes of the program or 20. And there's some wonderful things to talk about. You guys ready?
Go ahead.
Huh? You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Let's put on our happy face. Let's smack our cheeks here and get out of the negative political mode, which, you know, every time politics come up. Let me ask you guys a question. When someone's talking politics, okay, and we get into what's going on in the country and political, do you ever see anyone with a smile on their face? No, not unless they're making fun of somebody. But the point is, they don't, because it's depressing. It's depressing. Politicians are depressing because we know like we just said, you know, don't pay yourself till this thing's done. That's how common sense Americans see it. They aggravate us, right? But, you know, there's a lot of good things going on. There really are. This time of year is one thing that I love is that you can do things with your children that don't cost a lot of money. You can go outside and rake leaves and make big leaf forts and dive in them and play with your kids and have a good time. And you know, it's just a pretty time of year. Carve pumpkins. Pumpkins are cheap. And then when you're done carving the pumpkin, cut it up and make a pumpkin pie. That's not hard to do either. You know, you can go online and it'll show you how to do it. But, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, a lot of times parents say, we don't have the money to do anything. Shut up and go to your room. You know what I mean? But we do. And we just have to think about, you know, what can we do? I have a huge, you know me, I've always had a huge burden for kids. And I don't like to see sad kids. It just breaks my heart. And I don't like to see it when parents don't watch their kids. I was in a store the other night, and it was dark. I mean, it gets dark early now, but it was probably at least 8 o'clock, 8:30 maybe. There was a little girl in there. She looked like she was about 6 or 7. The older I get, you know, 12-year-olds start looking like they're 6 to me, you know what I mean? That age gap gets bigger and bigger. But this lady in the store said, are you by yourself? And she said, yes. She goes, you be very careful walking home and don't you talk to anyone. I mean, this little girl was probably 8 blocks from home in the dark, 6 years old, in a store. And I'm thinking, Mom and Dad, somebody needs to rattle your head. You know, think about these kids. You know, it's safety. It truly is. And we didn't always worry about that stuff as much, but we do now. So, you know, kind of a warning from an old pastor here. Keep an eye on your kids. And make sure that they're in a safe place and that people are with them as they should. But, you know, there's so many neat things we can do right now. Some of this stuff has really gotten outrageous. Some of these venues that you go to, like a pumpkin farm where they have all this stuff, they're caught. It's horrible what they're charging to get in. I mean, these kids can't even go. Little kids drive by with their parents in a car, just looking out the window, and they're not going to go there. Parents got 6 kids, and they think, you know, it's going to, okay, you guys want to go to the pumpkin farm for an hour, or are we going to have groceries this week? And I just think that, I don't know, what are the schools charging? I've seen the school buses at some of these places. Do you guys have any idea?
I have no idea what they're charging to do it. It's hard to say. I know it's getting more expensive.
But, I mean, I see the school buses going. I mean, do they have a rate for the whole school?
Or, they probably do.
You know, where, you know, like, remember when we were in school, they say bring 50 cents tomorrow and we're going here, or a dollar or whatever. I don't know what that is now. Probably bring 5 or 6 bucks. And, you know, it's hard to tell. But, you know, I just, you know, there's a lot of neat things we can do out there. Churches are doing a lot of neat things this time of year. Of course, we just had our fall festival going on, and believe it or not, we're gearing up for Christmas already and getting Christmas stuff ready. And, you know, it's all to serve and help people. So that's what I want to talk about a minute. How much of what we do is in the service of other people? And why isn't it? You know, Jesus said many times in Scripture, verses such as, you know, when he was asked what's the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, to live as we're supposed to put other people before ourselves and on an equal plane as ourselves. And I was asking a group of people in a Bible study the other night. I said, now think about that a minute. We quote that all the time. But that basically means that whatever you would do for yourself, you'll be willing to do for someone that doesn't have the means to do it if they need it. Am I right? Isn't that what that means? Well, how many people are willing to do that? Oh, no. I'll do it as long as it doesn't really affect me or my lifestyle. Or, you know, I'm of the personal belief, and I've witnessed it, and I've done it, is that you cannot outgive. And what I mean by that is, you know, it just always seems to be there. When you're willing to give, you're willing to help. And, you know, a lot of people, they were really, let me ask you, I'm going to ask Matt a question here. He's young. I'm going to fire this one at him because he's a younger generation. He may have a different perspective. If I were to tell you that everyone in the world has a desire in their heart to be loved, okay, what would your answer be?
I mean, that's probably true, yeah. I mean, people have an innate desire to be liked.
Yeah, liked or to feel like people. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it's true. And, you know, a lot of people, you meet those rough people that have gotten callous from maybe how they've been treated or whatnot, and they'll say something, I don't really care what people think about me. I am what I am. You know what that is? That's a lie. Because even those people, down inside, they want to be loved.
Well, I mean, I think my logic on that has always just been, I mean, if you are angry enough to the point where you have to tell people that you don't care what people think, obviously you care what people think. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't be angry about it.
That's right. That's right. Good point. But no, so my point is that everyone desires to be loved. So when you love other people, what ends up happening is people come back and they love you in return. And there's no greater joy than having the love from other people. But it doesn't come from being selfish. It doesn't come from demanding my own way. It doesn't come from putting people off. It comes from embracing and loving people. Comments there?
Well, that's probably true. I mean, I would imagine that that's what most people want. But, you know, a lot of people will tell you different. You said.
Yeah, they will. But, I mean, let's just be real for them. I'm asking people just to be real with themselves. They want to be loved, right?
But and what
the best
is the
way
reason
to be
to
loved
it
is to love other people.
But what is the reason to deny it?
To deny it?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think because you're not willing to get away from self. Self is our biggest enemy. It really is. I saw something the other day. What's the girl's name that was on 90210, the blonde? You remember him? Kelly on 90210. I forget her real name as an actress.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Anyway, she got a podcast out there now, and it's, I don't remember the name of it. Basically what it is, it's about loving me, loving yourself, doing everything for yourself, and how, you know, you got to put you first, you got to do these things. I disagree with that completely. I think that turns you into a narcissist. I think that, you know, obviously you take care of yourself, but the truth is, I think that we need to love other people, and in turn, we will feel loved. And I don't think you can go wrong there by putting someone before yourself. I mean, you know, if you're, I remember one time, I've seen so many examples of even young people doing it, where they'll share their lunch with somebody. Or they'll take someone in that's being picked on at school, say, come on, man, come on, let's go. You know, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm talking about understanding that we talked a couple weeks ago about how horrible the pornography issue is and the dangers of it. You know, that's something that we can all agree to come together on and quit arguing about every little thing for argument's sake. And just because we have to have our own opinion out there and our own way out there. I guess that's what I'm doing right now, and this is my own opinion. But what I'm saying is, you know, be kind and be compassionate.
Well, you know, I think it's one of the reasons, and again, it's all opinion, that people will deny this, something that would seem very simple, is that people can't be wrong. You know, that's the biggest problem I see in everything.
I think you have to admit you're wrong when you're wrong.
Find that a lot in society.
They don't, because it's not even promoted. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful? Could you imagine? Okay, I'm going to put you guys in fantasy land real quick here. You're going to take two reporters from Newsmax, two reporters from Fox, two reporters from MSNBC, and two reporters from CBS. And you've got them all sitting at a table together. And someone throws a issue out in the middle of the table. And they all start giving their opinions on what they think. But then they start saying, well, wait a minute, you think this. How about thinking and looking at it this way, another person? And all of a sudden, these people at the table start saying, you know what? We can have some common ground on this. You would never see that happen. It is total vitriol, hate. You're wrong. You know, and that's why people like that way. That's what they see. You know, they see, you know, no one's seeing people come together and really do what they're supposed to do.
Well, there are variations on things, but I guess is what, you know, somebody recently said, I don't remember who it was, but they said, I can have the discussion with you about anything. We can discuss anything. Differences, things we agree on, we can discuss that. But if we can't figure out what the facts are, if you don't understand what effect is, then we've got a problem, because then we've got nothing. Because if the water's clear over there and you think the water's not clear, we can't discuss how to make that cleaner, because you have no concept of what we're talking about. And I think most of those organizations you mentioned, they're going to agree on the water is clear. Now, how they might approach it will be different. But some people are so off the beam that it is, you're never going to get back, because the facts are wrong. Well, okay, the facts are wrong. I don't know where we're going to go with that.
Well, I think that we have to be willing to be an investigative person of ourselves. Look, if I'm going to be so bold to make an opinion, I should be responsible enough to research my opinion. Otherwise, I'm going to get shot right in a can.
Well, but isn't it interesting, though? What is wrong?
Where are your research?
But what is wrong with saying it's an opinion? People tried to place it as fact.
That's a good point. This is my opinion, and this is why I have it. But, you know, it's interesting that, some of the stuff people get their facts from. You know, we had a caller one time that was spouting some stuff. I know directly came off those crazy conspiracy sites. Man, I'll tell you what, you can go on some of these things, and, man, they'll take you down some rabbit holes that turn into snake holes and come back out the other end a gopher hole. I mean, they're bad. And you would not believe some of the conspiracies out there that people actually believe. I hear them, they tell me, and I'm thinking, wow, where do I even start with you? You know, where do we even find a solid base to start from? You're out there. You know, there's no way there's cities under this country right now that are housing millions of people that are in slavery. And there's people that believe that right now. And all kinds of...
Oh, well, the big one right now that I hear all the time is calling somebody a Nazi. I mean, now where...
I didn't know what a Nazi was.
Well, where are your facts on that? I mean, when I see that, I think, boy, really?
I had a guy tell me a couple weeks ago, honest truth, I think I might have mentioned this already in another show, but anyway, he told me, you know, I think we came down on the wrong side of World War II. I said, what side? He goes, we should have never supported or been against Hitler. He said, Hitler was right. I said, what do you mean Hitler was right? He said, the reason that he did what he did was because the Jews had an agenda to bring all the pedophiles into Berlin. And I'm like, dude, I don't know where you're coming from, but we can't even have a conversation if you're going to believe stuff that's insane. I mean, the historical facts are the historical facts. Whichever side you come down on, they're still the historical facts of what actually happened. And for people to suddenly grasp at these, it's just like the flat earthers. Is that insane? I mean, if you go high enough in an airplane, you can actually see the curvature of the earth. You know what I mean? If you get high enough in the atmosphere, you can see that curvature. And it's just common sense. I mean, everyone knows it. Oh, no, those are all fake photos that have been put out there. I'll tell you a really good one. I think I have time for this. You'll love this. There's this theory out there that that the Bible was put together by all these monks that took all the copies, and they sat down, and they made them all correspond with what they wanted it to, and they changed them, and they made it flow and made the Bible uniform, and that it's not really all the copies that were all taken, and they spent meticulous years and time doing this to make everything look so perfect.
Like the Council of Kings or whatever they call
it? Yeah. So here's what's really crazy about this. There's over 3,000 manuscripts in like 5 different countries, found in various caves, found in different places. So what they would have had to do was, they would have had to found all those manuscripts, changed them, and then put them back so someone could find them later without anybody knowing this was going on. I'm like, okay, that's real smart. That couldn't happen. It would be impossible for that to ever happen. But that's this thing that's out there. So it's interesting when you find the Dead Sea Scrolls, which we found, 100 years ago? Not quite. And they compare them to early manuscripts. All this stuff fits. It fits because it fits. It's not because somebody did that and made that happen. But, you know, people will come up with any weird conspiracy theory they can to try to prove or disprove a point.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that this is the time we live in, and I have said this so much in the last 10 years to people, is that, and it is because of the internet. It's unfortunate, but it is. People will believe anything. Anything you put out there, there will be a certain group of people that will believe it. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the problem is, you know, people, as we have stated here in this program, politics seem to be the big thing in people's life. And they argue about that, blah, 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 blah. And it goes on, and people take it very personally, and they get very angry. You know what? That has been going back and forth for 250 years, and it's going to continue to go back and forth.
You know what, though, Scott? We have the greatest nation. They have never formed a nation that has lasted as long as this nation, as a democratic republic that it is.
Right, but the big problem that we have has never been that problem, no matter who had control of the government. The biggest problem has always been misinformation, and we are at a height. Because when you start questioning and lying about everything, then everything's true. Everything could possibly be true.
It's horrible. But see, why don't we hold people accountable anymore? I don't understand it. Even back, honestly, I know the lies always went on from the beginning. It had. It's the way it's people. But the point is, when you were blatantly found out, there were repercussions. And there seems to be no repercussions. You know, it's kind of like, you know, originally, you know, our Congress was a part-time thing. It was no big deal. You know, you served, you went home. It was a part-time gig. I mean, but there were people that wanted to be there and they cared. Now, I mean, you look at some of the people, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, they've been in there draining and not doing anything. And, you know, and that's on both sides of the coin. That should never be there. First of all, how do you lie to Congress, which most of them are probably none, and how do you lie to Congress and then just stay there drawing this huge check all the time and getting speaking things and...
Well, this is what's interesting to me, and I think this is why we have seen and it says nothing. They're not connected in any political way, but the rise of anti-Semitism in the United States is so interesting to watch, because it's an awful thing to be anti-Semitic. Why would you want to do that? But the problem is, and I have heard people say this. I have heard people confide this in me many times, the politicians, that this did not used to be there. That we like more, and we like everybody having a greater access, and we like people, you know, seeing everything. But when a vote used to happen in the Congress or in the Senate, if you voted the wrong way, that was not blasted everywhere in the world, or what they think is the wrong way, it wasn't blasted everywhere within seconds.
No,
and when that happens, you're not necessarily giving your own opinion anymore. You're giving the opinion that keeps you in office. And now the desire for power has become more important than your own opinion.
That is why, with most of our votes in Congress, they split down party lines. Because you want to stay in office, and you want to stay in office, and you got to vote to your party line. There are very few people stepping out of line the way they used to, and that's what's always made things work. You know, I remember with good one that always liked to work across the aisle was Tip O'Neill.
Yeah.
Teddy Kennedy worked across the
aisle. Ted Kennedy.
Quite a bit. And
Bill Clinton was very well known for working across with Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
They liked each other by the time it was over.
Yeah. And you know, I guess Clinton's and Bush's hang out together.
They do.
And you know.
Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought that? But, you know, we get so caught up in the petty things we can't change. You know, calling our president or our former president or our the former president before him, you know, well, they're pedophiles and we can prove it, that kind of stuff. Well, if you're not willing to take a stand against pedophiles in your own community, what are you doing worrying about Washington for?
Well, but isn't that interesting, though? Because, you know, when I talk about politics, yes, it's the Congress and the Senate, but city council's like that now. You know, city council, there are all kinds of accusations that a party gets together and this is the way you're going to vote and don't vote against it. And if you do, you know, we're going to primary you on city council. That's where it's gotten. I mean, wow.
Well, I think that, can I say something out there? We got 5 minutes left. Look, I just want the American people to understand, and I guess we're starting our little spot of Marion here. I want the American people to understand that this is your country. This is your country. It does not belong to the government. It does not belong to your city council. It doesn't belong to your state government. It doesn't belong to your township. It does not belong to them. Understand something. They work for you. And when you can come up with a common plan that is good for your community, promote it, get out there, and take nothing less. And when people want to get in office and all they want to do is point fingers at each other, kick the bums out and get people that will get in there and work and get something done for the betterment of your community. That is why they are put in office. They give all these grand talks about what they're going to do, how they're going to make things fiscally better, and how they're going to do well, and then they get in there, and then this stuff goes on. The problem is, we have forgotten that they work for us. And we think that once they're there, that they have this ultimate control and power, and we don't want to rock the boat because after a while, well, they might point a finger at me. Well, who cares?
Well, it's funny. You know, I did the host of the League of Women Voters this week, and there's so many politicians there. I can think of one that said something negative about another, and when they're in the same room, that doesn't even happen. They all get along. Hello, how are you? Good to see you. How's your family? Blah,
it's a
blah,
game.
Blah. It becomes that.
But it's a treacherous game.
It is.
And it's a costly game. And it's the American people that pay for that game. And they're just having a good old time playing their game. And it doesn't have to be that way. It didn't used to be that way. Not to the extent that it is.
Well, this is back to the love question with 3 minutes left to go. This is part of the problem. It is so hard to say something nice about somebody. Everybody would much rather go to the negative. You know, we disagree on this. Okay, but what do we agree on? You know, why don't we talk about what we agree on, not what we disagree on?
I know of somebody that's getting ready to retire from a position, and they are one of those honorable, wonderful people that have done so many things for so many kids. But there's a couple things they've done that have rubbed people the wrong way. And you've got that group of people that will do nothing but trash them until the day they die. And what this person has done outside of that and the sacrifices they made for those people's children that are even giving them grief is amazing. And it's amazing that people will feel that way. But there are those people, like you said, that will always go to the negative. You know, there's a couple that comes to football game every weekend. How are you doing tonight? Well, we'd be a lot better if these guys played better. You know, that's all you get out of them. Or, you know, wow, I was about ready to leave at halftime. These guys really stink. Or, you know, they might be winning, but they could have been winning by 10 more if this. You get to the point, I'm not even going to walk and ask them how they're doing tonight because I don't need it.
Yeah, well, and that's the negativity. It is just easier for people. People are and people who aren't even, you know, they're not even having this conversation internally. It's just easier for them to say something negative than ever say something positive. It opens them up in a way. It's a very interesting thing.
So I guess don't be a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, like I said, people.
I think it's women's name a lot of time, a Karen, a Debbie Downer.
Yeah. Well, you know what though? I always say, run down. You will find out what people are like in a certain way, because we do have this social media now. If you run down and you look, are they knocking people? Are they criticizing people? What are they doing with their social media? You know, in their comment section.
Ugh.
That's why I don't make comments.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I don't want to be.
I make comments, but I don't make comments that are provocative.
I don't want to be person number 7 in an argument between angry people. You know.
Yeah, every now and then I'll have to throw one out there. I threw one out there about the No Kings thing. It's like, okay, you're protesting something that doesn't even exist. I don't understand that at all. But anyway, that's how I felt about that. You know, there's plenty of things that are going on you could be protesting about. But anyway, no, I just want to encourage people to be out there and be positive. Look, if you're positive, it's going to return positive to you. And just think about that for a minute. You're going to get what you put out. We reap what we sow, do we not?
That's the way it goes. And this episode's done for this week. We'll be back next week. Pastor, sign us off.
Have a blessed day. We'll see you in church on Sunday.
Like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you? How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look